17 members of Philadelphia City Council took the oath of office today. Ever wonder what they spend their time doing? You're not alone.
I've covered a lot of city council sessions over the years as a government reporter, and sometimes I'm in there and I'm like, what are they doing?
It turns out council passes a lot, I mean a lot of bills, more than 12,000 in the past two decades.
There's a lot of bills that get introduced, and a lot of them pass pretty much without any objection.
But as new faces join council, we could start to see more conflicts in City Hall and the role of council itself change. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Max Maron is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. He says he was struck not just by the number of bills passed, but by how few actually get voted down.
In the period that we looked at from 2000 to 2019, there were only five bills out of 15,000 that went to the floor and didn't have the votes to pass.
So that's got to be a way higher percentage of bills that pass than like Congress, for example.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, Philly is an overwhelmingly Democratic town. This is not a partisan gridlock like you're seeing in Congress. It operates in a totally different way. Even in the Pennsylvania state legislature, they're passing way fewer bills. This is like a high percentage. And a lot of that includes this kind of ceremonial legislation that you might not think of as like big life-changing policy.
Like what?
Well, our analysis found that about one in five bills introduced on council's chambers were some kind of resolution honoring somebody or recognizing them for some good deed or, naming a different day of the month to celebrate somebody. So
right.
Some of those examples, some of them are a little dated. There's a 2002 resolution lauding Temple graduate and Philly native Bill Cosby.
Oh, okay. That wouldn't fly anymore.
There's, there's some very like kind of just symbolic gestures like a resolution condemning the war in Iraq. You know, you're also having about 600 bills over these years that are just renaming days and months. We have Payroll Week, Beat the Reds Week, Praise the Cure Weekend, Menstrual Hygiene Day.
A resolution recognizing May 28, 2019 as Menstrual Hygiene Day and honoring...
Resolution declaring that every Friday before a game by the Philadelphia Eagles shall be known as Eagles Friday.
A resolution recognizing April as Limb Loss Awareness Month.
And a resolution welcoming Gritty, the new mascot of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Mind the Holidays Day.
What is Mind the Holidays Day?
You have to go back and look at the specific bill to realize, but a lot of this stuff is really just only meant to be a kind of one and done thing. But, it functions the same as any other bill that is going to change, some sort of policy that will impact you or my life.
So council passes a lot of these kind of ceremonial things. They honor people or days, but they pass more meaningful legislation, right?
Absolutely. Now, your city council is working on thousands of bills over the course of these years, and this is also different lawmakers and different interests. But what you're seeing also in this huge body of legislation is council's main focus, which is in real estate, especially your 10 district council members that oversee different swaths of the city. They control real estate and zoning changes. They can block food trucks from operating on certain blocks. And they can also do bigger citywide legislation, like the recently passed bill that provides labor protections to domestic workers.
So what does it take for a bill to become law?
Mr. Decker, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Bass, Councilwoman Blackwell, Councilman Dom.
First, it gets introduced, and if it's a pretty substantial policy, it has to go into what's called a committee of council members who look at specific types of issues.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Council President Clark, I offer one bill.
An ordinance amending Section 9205 of the Philadelphia Code, entitled Sidewalk Sales, by prohibiting vending along certain portions of Spring Garden Street.
This bill will be referred to the appropriate committee. Chair, now.
A lot of bills, about one in four of them, will just sit in this committee and die. They'll never be put to the floor. They'll never be withdrawn. They just go there. It's like Siberia. Stuff just goes there to wither away. The other bills that get moved forward out of committee and go advancing for a vote are usually being negotiated behind closed doors. There's some sort of deals being cut to work out all of the various concerns and grievances people would have. And basically, by the time the bill is getting presented, you have a finished piece of legislation that your colleagues are going to support. You have the nine votes you need at least to get this to pass.
So, Max, again, only five bills have failed on the floor. What's an example of one of those bills that didn't pass?
The best and most recent example would probably be a Councilmember Mark Squilla's plastic bag ban.
To permit the use of only certain bags by retail establishments at the point of sale or for a delivery.
I'm sure a lot of people have probably heard about this, but the city, you know, several cities across the country have been making efforts to ban these plastic, single-use plastic bags from retailers, an environmentally friendly gesture. Philadelphia has been trying to pass this legislation for 12 years. The bill was first introduced in 2007 and then again in 2009 by then-councilperson Jim Kenney. He rushed this onto the floor in an attempt to get it to pass, and it didn't have the votes. It was shot down. So basically, that restarts the entire process all over again.
So if it doesn't have the votes, why would you push it to the floor?
Council members say sometimes it's a way to just put pressure on people and see if you can swing the votes. You might have 7 or 8 and you just need 1 or 2 more. And you might see if you can put pressure on them. And others say that pushing it to the floor really puts your colleagues in a pinch, and maybe you shouldn't do that because you're not going to be able to have the support next time around. So Squilla reintroduced the bill again in 2015, tried a different variation of the tax. He had some support from environmental groups, but some on council said it would be a regressive tax on the poor. He couldn't make it work, so he tabled it. He didn't push it for a vote. He tries again this year in 2019, and this time he pushes for a full ban, single-use plastic bags.
Thank you. Chair recognizes Councilman Squilla.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we vote on this legislation, I just wanted to say that this has been a long time coming. The Bring Your Own Bag legislation is historic for the city of Philadelphia. It's been a long process, and I'm pleased to do my part to improve the environment for generations of Philadelphians to come.
And after a couple amendments to the bill, it passes.
Aye, the ayes are 15 and nays are 2. Majority of members present voting in affirmative, the bill passes.
And so 12 years later, we have a law.
When we come back,
the incoming council members this year are certainly going to have a sort of higher standard of what constitutes a big piece of legislation.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yakov, talking to Max Marin of WHYY's Billy Penn about the kinds of bills Philadelphia City Council passes and why it passes so many of them. So Max, you mentioned that real estate transactions are a big part of what council does. What does that look like? What kind of real estate transactions?
Sure. So we looked at this huge chunk of bills and we realized that, you know, after breaking down the kind of various language in them, we realized that about 1 in 4 bills introduced has to do with some form of a real estate transaction. And this is city council's bread and butter. The district council members really have near total control over a lot of things that have to do with, you know, zoning variances and granting you know, parcels of land that the city owns to somebody who wants to buy them. Some of this stuff is written into the city charter. Some of it's written into state law. But the process is that you have to introduce a bill to kind of get these things done. Now, the question is, that's 1 in 4 bills that council introduces that essentially has no opposition and no scrutiny. There are very rare examples where this happens, but basically the tradition called councilmanic prerogative says that, you know, these council members know what's best for their district. So if they're going to change something about land use, where they're going to sell some parcel of land, that it's not going to, you know, have any opposition.
It's been moved and properly second. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. 180-183 is adopted.
But as you reported, Max, we're seeing more big policy changes now, like the plastic bag ban that you mentioned, that affect the whole city, right?
Right. There's a lot more of these bills that are coming about in recent years and passing that change life for people in the city in big ways. There is the paid sick leave bill, which guarantees a mandatory number of sick days you can get each year. There is the decriminalization of marijuana that then Councilman Jim Kenney passed back in 2014. There's the expansion of rights for housekeepers and domestic workers, which passed this fall. These bills are becoming more and more common as city council members really try to take on larger issues that were traditionally thought to be ideas and policy ideas that would come from the mayor's office, and they're taking them on themselves.
So why are we seeing more of those now?
I think one of the answers to the question is that city council members are developing their own political brands in a way that they weren't maybe 2 decades ago. After John Street became mayor, it was the first time in over 50-some years where a city council person had really just like made the leap to the mayor's office. And now it's looked at as a jumping off point where you can make a name for yourself.
And since then, every mayor that we've had in the city has come from city council.
Correct. Right. Michael Nutter, Mayor Jim Kenney, both former council people. And over the time, you start to also see it simultaneously them introducing a lot more big legislation and developing their own political identities around this stuff. People think of City Councilmember Alan Dom, and they think about government spending, they think about business regulations.
And I believe it's our responsibility as a government to get our fiscal house in order before we ask for any increase in tax dollars.
People think of Councilmember Helen Gim, and she's developed a wide base around these progressive left-leaning causes that have gained traction on the national level.
Incomes for the bottom 60% are the same or have lowered since 2007.
Even Jim Kenney, you know, he introduced the bill decriminalizing marijuana in 2014 as a council member, and that became something that he really gained him political points when he wanted to run, right? Introducing these big bills can open up your opportunities in the future. All of the candidates who are rumored to be running for mayor in 2023 are all city council members right now, and that tells you a lot about where people think that the power vacuum kind of moves upward.
So what do you think about this trend? On the one hand, it seems like council is taking on a more meaningful role in some ways. On the other hand, it's not a role that they've traditionally had. They are still serving as a check on the executive branch, but they're doing a lot more than that now, right?
Right. And the other part of that growth is that city council and the city budget and the city agencies in general have just grown tremendously over the last couple of years. And city councils in particular has expanded to allow them to have much larger staffs, much more resources to develop legislation and get stuff done. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, some council members just had one aide helping them write all their legislation, sometimes also taking phone calls from constituents to deal with various issues. So having more muscle and more brain power allows them to kind of expand and explore a lot more complicated legislation. And the incoming council members this year are certainly going to have a higher standard of what constitutes a big piece of legislation.
So if council is introducing sort of more substantial legislation, does that mean we could expect to see fewer bills actually passing on the floor?
It's certainly possible. You have a lot of new faces coming into city council this year, and they're going to be bringing a lot of these ideas, hopefully trying to change the lives of Philadelphians for the better. And they could meet a lot more resistance as some of those ideas push further to maybe the political left on the spectrum, as we've seen happening. So it's definitely something we'll be looking for.
Thanks, Max.
Hey, thanks, Shane.
Max Marin is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. He co-reported this story with Jake Blumgard of WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Kelsey Hansen, and Alex Stern. You know, when we were doing this interview, Alex was in the control room with this puzzled look on her face. And so I asked her about it later, and here's what she said.
Sometimes I'm in there and I'm like, what are they doing?
We had editorial direction from Katie Colinari and editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.